Well, looking at this past week, we had the minutes from the last Fed meeting, and what the Fed's doing at the moment is basically trying to push back and temper expectations about how soon interest rates can be cut in the United States. In fact, if you looked at the economic data from the United States over the last few weeks, there's no way you'd be looking at cutting interest rates in that economy. The only factor which suggests it might be possible is because the Fed funds rate's so high at 5.5%. But the Fed very much pushing back, and the market slowly but surely is pushing back into later this year the expectation of when the Fed can start to cut rates and by how much. So some of the data last week, there wasn't a lot of it. It was a quiet week. But the initial jobless claims, one of the biggest problems the Fed faces is the tightness of the labour market, which is generating wage growth, which is now starting to accelerate again into the mid-fours, which is a percentage point higher than we'd like to see. Well, the latest initial jobless claims, they were expected to be 217,000. They came in at 201,000, down from 213,000. So if anything, the labour market's getting even tighter. And remembering that non-farm payrolls for the last couple of months have been topside of 300,000. In fact, the most recent month was 353,000. Very, very strong. So it's not a case of a soft landing in the US. It's a case of no landing. It's actually starting to show some signs of accelerate again. And that came through a little bit with the purchasing managers' indices as well. We had the February old-style manufacturing and services sector PMIs. Both of them are topside of 50 now. So the manufacturing PMI, which had a very brief stay late last year in the 40s, it got above 50 in the first part of this year and has lifted further to 51.5. Now, that's supposed to be the softest part of the economy, and it's actually accelerating. And the services sector PMI had a big bounce last month to 52.5. It settled back a bit to 51.3, but still well and truly in expansionary territory. We also had January existing home sales, and these lifted by 3.1% for the most recent month after falling 0.8% the month before. And most housing indicators in the US, they've been a little bit volatile, but they show a distinct dogleg upwards over the course of the last few months, which means that the US economy has been through an entire housing cycle where it's had some moderation and is now starting to re-accelerate without any lowering of interest rates at all. This is really a conundrum as far as the Fed's concerned, and that's the way in which we're looking at this data now. It's almost getting to a point where it's not so much whether the Fed can start to cut rates as to whether it may need to raise rates even higher. And that's probably unlikely given that the Fed funds rate's at 5.5%. But that's where the risk is starting to migrate towards. So this week we have some more housing data. We got January new home sales coming out today. They had a huge lift going back to December. They were up by 8%. They're expected to have lifted another 1.7% on top of that for the month of January. We have some durable goods orders data, which has been relatively firm over the last few months. We've got revised Q4 GDP coming out on Wednesday. It was at a very strong 3.3% annualized in Q4. Don't expect any real revision to that. So, this is the no landing base. It's not just a soft landing. It's actually no landing as far as the US is concerned. We also get consumer confidence and consumer sentiment data coming out for February. These are the late month parts of those surveys. So February consumer confidence, 114.8. It may come back a little to 114, but this is very strong now and is pointing towards strong consumer spending ahead. And the weaker of the two surveys, the consumer sentiment survey from February from Michigan University, that had been trailing below the consumer confidence survey. It's coming up to meet it. And over the last couple of months, we had about a 15-point improvement in that survey. It was 79.6 for the preliminary report from that survey. It's expected to be about that with the later reports coming out. We get also later in the week January core personal consumption expenditure deflator. That one was up 0.2% month on month going back to December. It looks as if it might have doubled that, and it may come in around about 0.4%. That's a worry, you know, because when you're starting to get 0.3s, 0.4s, you're annualising in the mid-3s to high-4s for the annual inflation rate in this best of the Fed's indicators. So it means that, you know, progress getting inflation down really is stalling. We also get January personal income, personal spending data. They both look firm. So January personal income looks as if it's risen 0.5% after rising 0.3%. And this is, there's two big reasons why the US is doing something completely different from most other major economies and is showing signs of strengthening. And one of them is that the household sector continues to spend. It's been pretty resilient in the face of the higher interest rates put in place by the Federal Reserve. You know, why has that been the case? Well, you know, there are 30-year fixed rate mortgage market. You know, interest rates don't have quite the same effect. Also, household debt wasn't as high in the US as it has been in many other economies. So, you know, the impact from that has been somewhat less. But also, we've had wage growth, which now for a while has been moving ahead of inflation growth. So you've got real growth in real wages, and it's running up towards 1.5 to 2% real growth, and has been for a while now. So you've got really good income growth. You've got very strong employment. And also, unlike a country like Australia, you've had a lot of government spending. You know, this has been part of Biden economics. It's sort of they've kept government spending running very, very high. So you've had government spending impetus. Government policy has been pretty loose. So all of that is giving this tailwind to the U.S. economy now, and you're starting to see that coming through. Now, later in the week, we also get the ISM, Manufacturing Purchasing Managers Index, comes out. That's been a little bit softer than the old-style one at 49.1. Market's looking for that to stay at 49.1. Wouldn't surprise if that's not a little bit stronger. But yeah, the theme running through this is still pretty strong growth. The economy is doing well. And basically, that means it's going to be very, very difficult to get inflation down. And interest rate expectations have been changing in the US. They still have to change a fair bit further. Moving to China, of course, this is a very different economy in China. We've just come out of all their Chinese New Year holidays. And one of the first things that the People's Bank of China did last week was to actually cut rates. So not that it helps that much in China, because there's other things on the mind of consumers in China, not least of which is relatively high unemployment. And the second aspect of this is that their assets are getting knocked to pieces. The Chinese stock markets have been very much underperforming, and property markets have been really underperforming. So the sorts of things that Chinese have had their wealth in China not going well, and that's keeping quite a lid on what needs to run in China, which is consumer spending. So People's Bank of China is leaning into that. They brought the deposit rate there down to 3.95% from 4.2%, a little bit of change there. Everybody's still waiting to see what might come through from the government, but the difficulty is trying to work out a policy which just doesn't make oversupply worse in China. In other words, if they go through the traditional route of trying to boost investment spending and try to build things, well, they've already got too much of that, and they're just making conditions more difficult as we go further into the future. We had January house prices came out. Year on year, they worsened. And if anything, I think these are under-reading. They're down 0.7% year-on-year after being down 0.4% year-on-year the month before. This week in China, we'll get the run of manufacturing and non-manufacturing PMIs, both the official ones and the Caixin ones, as we go through the turn of the month later in the week. And at this stage, they're hovering either side of 50. When you're looking at the manufacturing PMIs, if you're looking at the official one, it's 49.2, and the Caixin one's a bit stronger than that at 50.8. The non-manufacturing PMIs at 50.7. Don't expect to see too much movement running through those, still pointing to an economy that's struggling to pick up. Moving to Australia last week, and we had the Q4 wage price index came out, and this sort of highlights the conundrum, if anything, which is facing the Reserve Bank, and that is that wage growth is now pretty strong. So you've got wages which are up 0.9% quarter on quarter. The year-on-year accelerated from a revised 4.1% to 4.2%. That's running a little bit above the most recent forecast for wage growth that the Reserve Bank brought out just after the February policy meeting. So at this stage, if you're going to be running with this sort of wage growth, you have to have pretty quickly some pickup in really poor labour productivity here. And we'll wait until we get the next GDP data, which is the Q4 GDP data. It comes out not next week, but the week after. And we'll be waiting to see whether that shows any significant improvement in labour productivity, which here was running at minus 2.1% year on year. Minus 2.1% labour productivity plus 4.2% wage growth gives you not a snowflake's chance in hell of getting the CPI consistently back inside the Reserve Bank's 2-3% target. So this is where the pressure point lies. Even though we've got some weaker economic indicators coming through here in things like the labour market and retail spending. Moving to some of the indicators coming out this week, a few things we'll be watching here. We've got a few Q4 indicators. So we've got things like Q4 construction work done, Q4 private capital expenditure. Q4 construction work done is expected to lift again, probably by 0.8% quarter on quarter, after being up 1.3% the quarter before. Private capital expenditure expected to be up 0.3% after being up 0.6% the quarter before. There'll also be some expectation surveys in there, which we'll be watching too to see how well that's going. But mostly these are making a small contribution to GDP growth when that number comes out a bit later. But we'll also be watching the monthlies. We get the monthly CPI coming out, month of January on Wednesday. And if anything, that one has been falling. It looks as if it might have got to the inflection point and looking for it to bounce slightly from 3.4% year on year to 3.5%. This is always likely to happen at some point in these months, early to middle months of this year, as we wind out some of the big government initiatives with cost of living benefit, and we also take out some of the bigger months of reduction of the base in petrol prices and things like this. It's starting to get sticky, the CPI, and that's probably what the January CPI is going to show when we get that on Wednesday. We also get January retail sales. Retail sales, we had the big November bounce in retail sales, followed by an equally big fall in retail sales in December of 2.7%. Market's expecting a bit of a bounce on that into January, 1.7% increase after the 2.7% fall going back the month before. It's getting very volatile, but essentially it's quite weak. But these numbers are really not weak enough yet for the Reserve Bank to overcome its concerns about what may be happening with wages and productivity. They really have to see that improvement coming through there. If we, you know, we're going to get to a point where interest rates can be cut here, it's still quite well out there on the horizon for that expectation. Moving to Europe, and mostly softish data running through Europe last week. We had consumer confidence, a slight improvement to minus 15.5 from minus 16.1, but a lot more pessimists than optimists, obviously, in that survey. We also had the February manufacturing and services sector PMIs. The manufacturing PMI is mid-40s, 46.1, down from 46.6 the month before. The services sector PMI actually lifted slightly to 50 from 48.4, so slightly better running through there. The minutes of the ECB meeting came out too, and stressed really that the ECB really is stuck between a rock and a hard place. One of the problems they face is that wage growth is much too strong running through Europe. So in a key economy like Germany, for example, we're talking about, here in Australia, wage price index running at 4.2%. In Germany, they're above 5%. In some other economies in Europe, it's even higher than that. And so, they've got this residual strength which has been running through the labour market, which is still giving these very, very high wage increases, which means that the ECB can't focus on the weakness in the economy. It's still trying to focus on getting inflation down consistently. And so it's stuck between a wish to start to bring interest rates down to combat the softness running through demand and the elevated inflation rate which lies ahead. Inflation has been coming down, but it's going to get to a sticking point with these sorts of wage increases, and you'd expect to see some rebound in that as you get later in the year. This week, we get the preliminary February CPI comes out. We've still got some pullback in that for the time being, so it's expected to come in at 2.5% year on year from 2.8% the month before. The core CPI a bit higher than that at 3%, down from 3.3%, but it's not going to get much better than that in months beyond. So watching this one just to make sure that there's no unpleasant surprises in this one, but probably not going to be good enough to give the ECB a comfortable leeway to start cutting rates yet. The ECB's inflation target is 2%, and they're still running above that with the wage risk that they bounce off and start to get nearer to 3% inflation as we go later in the year rather than staying down at these levels. So at this stage, it's still that story of central bank pushback. It's got to be a strong pushback really coming from places like the Fed and the US. The US economy is really doing something quite surprising. It's quite unlike other economies. Most other economies are showing signs of softer growth on the back of tight monetary policy. The US economy has taken tight monetary policy in its stride and is now starting to recover. We're going to see quite a strange world. And this may reflect, I think, in currencies too. We're starting to see probably a return to quite a deal of strength running through the US dollar relative to other currencies as we go through the course of this year. So just watching to see how all that pans out.